Thanks for downloading the Everyday Relationships podcast. We'd love to connect with you and have you share the podcast through myfaithradio.com. Welcome to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family with Dr. Greg Smalley and Susie Larson.
Welcome to today's show. We're thrilled that you've joined us. You know, we're here every day to help you live out the greatest commandment, to love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, and then to love others as you love yourself. You know, today we're going to be talking about how laughter can strengthen your marriage. But before we get into that, and by the way, we've got a great guest, my brother Michael Smalley, who's going to share some insights that he's learned about how to kind of apply laughter and humor in your relationship regularly. Susie, I got to ask, you know, we're coming off of Easter weekend. How was your Easter?
It was absolutely amazing. Two of my three sons live out of state, so the son that lives in town, he and his wife, joined us for church and for lunch, and then I got to spend some time at my mom's house. My dad passed away this last year, but just having the whole family together. But the one interesting thing that happened is, you know I have a pit bull that I'm in love with, right? My dog.
And I do remember that.
Yeah, and he's muscular and snuggly and very
sensitive.
We're
not talking about Kevin, right?
No.
You're literally saying a dog.
Yeah, I just love him because he's this little muscle-bound, well, big muscle-bound thing, and he's so sensitive. But he's also gluten intolerant like I am.
How is that possible?
I don't know. I know, but we went out to have dinner with our mentors and came home, and he'd eaten a whole bag of Hawaiian rolls and the plastic.
They weren't gluten-free.
They're not. They're full of gluten. And he's having the post-Easter, blues right now.
And you're on cleanup duty, right?
Exactly.
I imagine.
So that was fun. But other than that, it was great. How about you?
Well, I'm still trying to process. I didn't realize a dog could be gluten-free.
In the same household that I am. And what are the chances?
So, do you go? Do you have to find bags of dog food that say gluten-free on them?
Poor Kevin. Poor Kevin. I mean, we have my food and his food and the dog's food, and yeah, it's a bummer. We're a little high maintenance.
I love it. I love it. We were less messy, I think.
I'm sure you were.
Although, in some ways, we weren't because. We love, we decorate the eggs, we hide the eggs, and the real eggs. So we've got some plastic ones and the real ones that we boil and color. It happens every year that somehow we lose track of one, sometimes multiple eggs.
The real ones?
Yeah, and that's not good.
No.
Because they tend to smell over time. But, so we go on this, the Easter egg hunt. And so this year I'm like, I am going to figure out how do we not lose these eggs. So I had them all marked and had the carton so I knew exactly how many. And sure enough, after the kids all found them, one is gone. And so then now I have to find it. So I'm 45 minutes later, I come back just exasperated, just saying to my family, it's not there. And it's going to start stinking, a couple days. And Taylor goes, my oldest daughter, who's 19, she's like, hey, what are you looking for? And I said, well, I can't find one of the eggs. She's like, oh, well, I ate that one as you guys were hunting for eggs. I'm like, seriously?
Thanks,
that's
honey.
My vegan daughter who can't eat the chocolate. She's got to eat the real eggs. And, of course, I didn't even know that.
Oh, that's cute.
So that was
never a dull moment.
Not quite as messy, though. Mm-hmm. It was the gluten-free.
Yeah, not even messy at all.
Yeah. So today we're going to be talking about how laughter can strengthen your marriage. Now, Susie, let's just be real, okay? We all know that laughing and having fun together is important, right, for our marriage.
Absolutely. And in fact, I read this out of your Wholehearted Marriage book that made me so happy, that laughter actually helps tone your facial muscles and nourishes your skin.
See?
Who would have thunk it?
I'm thrilled that that's the takeaway from my whole entire book that you've gotten.
It was a God moment for me, for sure. Yeah, we love to laugh. Kevin and I laugh every single day, and I think I couldn't be married to someone who didn't make me laugh because it's just such a part of who I am,
Yeah,
I love it.
And when you say it's probably fair that most of us know that laughing together, having fun is important, but we're going to do something a little bit different today. Going to go a little bit different direction, okay? Because here's what we want to do. We're going to talk about why two of the best marriage researchers in the world, okay, two of the best who were studying what creates a strong relationship, and to their surprise, they discovered that the amount of fun that couples have emerged as the strongest factor in understanding overall marital happiness. I mean, think about that. I would have thought, well, communication, their spiritual relationship, conflict resolution, you know, something like that. I don't think that I would have picked out the thing that emerged as the strongest would have been just our ability to laugh and have fun together. And so today, I want to do two things. I want to talk about why having fun together is so powerful and is so important to the health of your overall marriage. So we're going to talk about that. And then more importantly, how to make fun and laughter a regular part of your marriage. And again, we'd love for you to be part of the conversation. You know, you can give us a call at 877-933-2484. You can always post on our Facebook page, Everyday Relationships Radio. Here, maybe let's start here, okay? If laughter is the best medicine, right? We've all heard that. Sadly, adults only laugh about 17 times a day compared to preschool-age children who laugh about 300 times. So 17 times versus 300 times. Well, why do you think adults laugh so little compared to children? What happens over all those years? Maybe you have a funny story of a time that you and your spouse have laughed, and just maybe the ways that you guys spend time together. We'd love to hear your ideas, but why do you think adults laugh only 17 times a day? Give us a call at 877-933-2484. Post on our Facebook, which is Everyday Relationships Radio. Susie, so for you guys, how important is laughter really with in your relationship with Kevin?
Like I said, it's really central, because we've really learned. We've been through a lot of hard stuff together, and we've learned even in those places when we laugh, it just lightens the load, and it helps you remember not to take yourselves too seriously. And I wonder
it's
if
important.
That it is important, you know.
No one takes me serious. I don't think I ever have to worry about that.
Yeah. She has a hard time taking you seriously, right?
Exactly.
No. But really, just even laughing in those moments of desperation just reminds you that more is on God's shoulders, for us anyways, than on ours. And so, boy, it does something for the soul. And I think physiologically it does something for you, doesn't it? It just changes your perspective.
Oh, I think there's so many benefits. You know, I think one of the first times, I mean, I've always known this, and, you know, I love to laugh and to joke. And so, Aaron, even when we were dating, I mean, this was always true. But, you know, probably one of my favorite times that I realized, wow, that something changes when we're laughing and having fun. Before we were married, I was moving to Denver to go to Denver Seminary, and so we were living in Phoenix at the time. And so I invited Aaron just to drive out with me. We're going to do the drive in one day just to see kind of what our life would look like the next year after we got married. And so we're going to stay with some good friends. And so I was going to move all my stuff out. So I didn't know that I needed to call ahead and reserve a U-Haul truck. You know, I just figured you could call them that day and go pick one up. And so the only one they had to give me was this one that was a stick shift, which I didn't drive. And so it was this old thing. I mean, I didn't even know how it was still in service. It was that bad. And so, you know, on the drive back, I'm trying to shift, and I'm running people off the road. And
I bet she was so impressed.
I mean, for so many reasons. That probably wasn't one of them. But the next morning, I had all my stuff loaded up. Aaron was going to come over. I was going to tow my car behind the U-Haul. So she shows up. My parents are, you know, they're sad because I'm leaving, you know, their first child to kind of leave home. And so they make this real sappy speech. And so as Aaron and I started to drive, you know, I popped the clutch, and it's kind of the truck jerked down the road. And in the side mirror, I could see my dad is running behind the truck. I mean, he's chasing me. Now, he's a marathon runner, so I'm going, he could chase me for at least 26 miles. I said, Aaron, what do I do? I mean, he's literally running. She's like, oh, just pull over. He probably just wants to say, you know, one last goodbye. And so I pulled over, and he came running up. And so I roll the window down. I'm just kind of, my arms are outstretched waiting for that one last hug. And instead, he goes, Greg, he goes, you idiot. And I thought, well, that's one way to cut the strings, you know, okay. And I said, what? And he goes, look what you've left in front of my house. Because apparently when I popped the clutch and the truck kind of jerked down the road, I knocked the car, the trailer, off the U-Haul. And it was there still. I mean, I would have driven all that way and then gone to look behind the U-Haul and went, where's my car? And Aaron thought that was the funniest thing. And we just laughed and laughed and laughed. I love that's how we just start our relationship that way. Hey, as I said, we've got a great guest today. It's actually my brother, Michael Smalley. Let me introduce him, and then we'll get him in and ask him about laughter and humor in their relationship. Michael's an author of several books. He's a speaker. He's a counselor. Michael's passion is in teaching couples the principles of loving well and loving for a lifetime. He started something called the Smalley Centers, which are intensive counseling for couples who are struggling. He's got about 8 locations around the country. But he's also, so you didn't know this, he's an amateur comedian. So he's the perfect person for today. So, Michael, before we actually officially welcome you, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll bring you right back in and have you share what you've learned about humor.
Can't wait to talk to Greg's brother, Michael. In fact, Greg says this, if laughter's the best medicine, most of us haven't gotten our prescription filled. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're talking about laughter in marriage today. Michael Smalley joins us in just a moment. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson, and we're talking today about keeping laughter alive in marriage. So what do you do to make each other laugh? And you know, as Greg told his story, sometimes our funniest moments are sort of unintentional. Maybe you've got a funny moment in marriage. We'd sure love to hear it. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. Greg, I'm trying to decide who's funnier, you or your brother Michael. I can't decide.
Well, let me promise you, it's him.
Oh, and, wow, that's good.
He is the funniest person that I know.
And I love it.
He's 5 years younger than me, and we actually had a blast growing up together. We didn't have that typical kind of sibling rivalry, and we had a lot of fun, but he's always made me laugh. You know, in Proverbs 17:22, it says, a glad heart makes a healthy body. And, you know, that's so true that laughter has an amazing effect upon our bodies. That one lowers your blood pressure, it decreases heart strain by increasing dopamine level or decreasing dopamine levels. It boosts your immune system, so it helps combat diseases. Get this, Susie, though, laughing 100 times is the equivalent to 10 minutes on the rowing machine or 15 minutes on the exercise bike.
Wow.
I love that. And then according to the British Dental Health Foundation, a smile gives the same level of stimulation as eating 2,000 chocolate bars.
Oh, my goodness.
So there you go.
There you go.
See, instead of...
You've made the case.
You know, if you crave chocolate, just
smile
away. And it's basically the same thing. Yeah, right, especially coming after Easter. No, I wanted my chocolate. So, hey, Michael, I didn't get to officially welcome you. So welcome to Everyday Relationships. Man, thanks for joining us.
Hey, thank you for having me on. And I'm just going to be honest, even hearing you introduce me, I'm thrilled that you have a show that has to remain positive, because that's the nicest thing you've ever said about me.
You mean I can't be honest? We were laughing about when he was younger. Remember when Star Wars first came out? I one time hid under his bed making the Star Wars,
Darth Vader.
And today he still can't sleep without the lights on, right, Michael?
Hey, first of all, I don't remember it one time. I remember being terrorized year after year after year. So, I'm a grown man.
So that thing Greg said about there was no sibling thing going on, you have a different story, right?
Well, there really wasn't. He is actually dead on with that. He was such a good older brother because I think he enjoyed teaching and coaching and that's always been his personality, and I enjoyed listening and obeying. I was very obedient. That's why we got along.
Well, Michael, so you heard us talk about those two marriage researchers that found that, you know, having fun together as couples kind of emerged as the strongest factor in determining overall marital satisfaction. Help us to begin to understand why is that? Why is fun and laughter so important to a relationship or to a marriage?
Well, I mean, the last time I checked, two people, a guy and a girl, don't tend to want to get together unless they're going to have fun. And I think what happens in marriage is that you have all this fun of dating because you're courting and you're trying to get to know each other. And then all of a sudden we get married and things ratchet up a notch, right? They get a little bit more intense. Then we have kids. That was a genius idea to kill the fun. And so we have all these stressors and we forget. And then why couples, though, tend to stay so miserable is that they're allowing some of the negative things in their life or whatever, which is inevitable for anybody. They're allowing those things to dominate their thought life and to dominate their actions. And so they stay on this negative track when really there is a positive one. I'll tell you, the biggest compliment or at least even comment I get after I do one of our small intensives. So these are couples in deep, deep crisis. It's like, you know, you're our last hope, Obi-Wan. You know, we need help.
We're keeping that Star Wars theme going. Way to go.
I know. Well, it felt like it fit. But I am most proud because, you know, I'm a goofball. I actually do comedy and have a couple comedy DVDs and all that stuff. But at the end of these intensives where couples have come in dealing with really intense, hurtful stuff, they always tell me, never in our life did we think we would laugh about this stuff. And that's one of those deals where God just gave me that ability to even get people to laugh about really hurtful, traumatic things. And I could watch their faces relax. I can see their muscle tension kind of settle in and their shoulders drop. And when they start, when they're able to appropriately laugh about the stuff, even hurtful, hard things going on in their life, I'm telling you, hope increases, joy increases. And when you begin to relax, I think that really just spreads out across every area in your life.
You know, what I love about what you're saying is that there's a Victor Borg, and I might be saying that wrong, but quote that says that laughter is the shortest distance between two people. And I know, Michael, so you're talking about you've got these couples that come in. They're in total crisis. I mean, as you said, you're their last hope. So, I mean, there's closed hearts there. And
yeah.
And what I've always thought is that laughter has a great way of opening hearts back up. I mean, it's hard to have a closed heart when you're laughing. And so it seems like you set a stage then to where people can hear, you know, God's words through you. And I've just noticed that when couples are in conflict, a little bit of humor, you know, again, it's got to be appropriate because trust me, there's times where I try to be funny with Aaron and it's it actually at all. But, you know, I know that people look younger when they're laughing. They're more approachable when they laugh. And so I think what it does is it creates kind of a relaxed kind of intimacy. It's like it sets a peaceful tone for the marriage. Thus, I think it feels safe. Thus, hearts tend to open. I mean, have you noticed that?
Oh, man, I certainly have. And actually, because I know you'll never mention it, but the book you wrote, Wholehearted Marriage, and that chapter, when you hear wholehearted marriage and kind of the wholeness that couples all want, it's no accident, I know, that you have an entire chapter just on how to keep it fun. But the big thing you just hit, okay, the big thing, especially in these intensives, is that when a couple laughs together, what you start to experience is they start to almost see each other in a new light. So it's like it's like laughter is almost used as this tool, I think, by God to kind of reshape our focus or recenter us or get us back. And what is so wild is that when they're laughing, even about crazy stuff, I can get away with challenging people and really confronting them through laughter. I've really found that, man, where people are so much more open for me to challenge them and to push them in a healthier direction if they've already been laughing with me.
And that's where I think the key is that laughter, fun and laughter in a marriage makes that marriage feel safe. And I know that that's a big part for Aaron and I. You know, Ecclesiastes 9:9 says, to enjoy life with the woman that you love all the days of your fleeting life, which God has given to you under the sun, for this is your reward. Susie, we need to enjoy life, and laughter and fun and humor is a big part of that.
Absolutely. Well, you picked a great day to join us today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley, and I'm Susie Larson. We're joined by Greg's brother, Michael Smalley, talking about the importance of keeping laughter in marriage. In a moment, we're going to talk about what's safe humor, what's unsafe humor, and how can you cultivate an atmosphere where you can actually have fun in marriage. We'd love to hear from you as well. 877-933-2484. 877-933-2484. We're back in just a moment.
Welcome back to Everyday Relationships from Focus on the Family. I'm Greg Smalley along with Susie Larson. You know, we're here every day to have real conversations about relationships, and today we're talking about the importance of laughing together, of having fun as a couple. You know, two researchers who were studying healthy marriages found, they were surprised by this, that one of the strongest predictors for a happy, successful marriage was our ability to laugh and to have fun together. Today we're joined by my brother, author, counselor, speaker, Michael Smalley. And so we're talking about the importance of laughing, but even more importantly, how do we make this a regular part of our relationships? Ecclesiastes 3:4 says that there is a time to weep and a time to laugh. And today, right now, Susie, this is a time for us to laugh.
Absolutely.
However, Michael, talk about this. I mean, certainly there's probably some things that happen in a relationship that's going to kill laughter, kill that fun. Well, what have you found as a counselor? You have these intensive counseling centers all over the country. And I didn't even know this, but on your bio, it says you have one in South Africa. Is that true?
We do. We just got
When did that happen? And why wasn't I invited?
Greg, I am global.
You are something, okay? But what have you found? What's some of the biggest killers of laughter and fun in a marriage?
Well, I'll tell you, I think the number one killer of laughter in a marriage are negative beliefs. And negative beliefs are when you basically have these judgments about your spouse that are all in your head. And unfortunately, a lot of times these negative beliefs are built up over the years over real things. So, for example, my wife is what we call an escalator. So when she gets upset, you're never confused when my wife is upset.
So, you know it. It's obvious.
Yeah, everybody knows where if I'm mad, you might think I'm your best friend, but yet I'm plotting your very death. And so,
Susie, can you make note of that?
Yeah,
and just have the authorities alerted to that? Thank you.
Be very careful. And so what happens then is over the years, and we've been married over 18 years now, is that she's obviously escalated from time to time in our relationship. And so I can start developing these negative beliefs where I, in my head, before she even finds out about something, or maybe I forgot to get the milk on the way home, and so I start to panic as I come in the home because my negative belief is that she's going to freak out or attack me for forgetting the milk. And it's those negative beliefs, because what happens is that they turn very critical, and our spouse starts to feel like they can't do anything right. But when you think about this as it relates to laughter or just goofing off in your marriage, how many times has something you meant to be very fun and very cute get interpreted incredibly negatively, right? So you're trying to be cute and funny, but yet your spouse has all these gigantic negative beliefs, and they don't receive it in a funny way. And so we have to start addressing those negative beliefs by simply checking them out and asking our spouse if they're even true.
That's so good. I'm sorry. That's so good, Michael.
Oh, you're okay.
And, you know, I'm thinking, too, when humor is misused, you know, I've heard women say, there's times where my husband will wield this humor to hurt me or to hide a message in it. So when he's actually being funny, I don't really trust him, because it's almost like it's a weapon one moment. And so say a word about that.
No, and you know, Susie, I really look at really anything in life can be used for good or evil.
That's right.
And that goes with anything at all. And so what I've encouraged, and I think you bring up such an important point, is if you have to be honest with yourself first before you try to tease your spouse about something. Because if you have that hidden message in there or that subtle jab, it's going to be felt, whether consciously or unconsciously. They're going to pick up on it, and that's not fun. And that's why I encourage people that you're always going to be safe making fun of yourself.
So I must be really safe then.
You're very well. I mean, you give yourself a lot of material. I'll say that. Well, but think about us, man. I'm telling you, this is the honest truth. This is last week, by the way, just before we were going to be leading an entire marriage conference. All right, we had gone out to the Chris Tomlin concert and big date night, which obviously you know, date nights are important. We had the time of our life with some of our best friends. We are so tired that you won't even believe what happened. How we ended up essentially scarring one of our children for life as we tried to get home from that concert.
Oh, I can't wait.
You know, Susie, we're talking about how anger, conflict, can really destroy that laughter. Mm. I think busyness is also an issue that we need to talk about as well.
Mm, so good. Glad you tuned in today. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're joined by Michael Smalley talking about the importance of genuine, sincere humor within the context of marriage. There's a way to do it. There's a way to really mess it up. We're talking to Michael. He'll give us more tips to apply in our marriage in just a moment. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We're joined by Michael Smalley. You know, we know there's a lot of places you could be today. We're so glad to have you here with us talking about keeping humor and laughter in marriage. And before the break, Michael, you were saying that you scarred your child for life on the way home from a Chris Tomlin concert. I'm wondering, how does a person do that and what happened?
Hey, it's not easy, Susie, but it's something I can pull off almost on a weekly basis. Well, hey, and I'm telling you, all these skills and things that my brother teaches and that I teach, that we teach them because we have to use them. So life happens.
I've wondered why. Yeah.
That's why I do it, because I won't remember it if I don't have to teach it constantly. But we're driving back. It's like midnight from our friend's home where we left our kids so they could babysit their kids. And I am so tired. It's one of those drives where you're slapping yourself to stay awake, and it was like 10 minutes. You know, I thought, I'm not going to make a 10-minute drive here. And so we get home. All I can think about is my bed. So, you know, we get out of the van. We're like, come on, everybody, go in, go straight to bed. I was asleep 3.5 seconds later, totally asleep. And then at about 3 in the morning, I get awakened to this pounding on our window right next to our bed. I mean, scares the crud out of my wife and I, and Amy and I jump up, and clearly someone was there, and we're like, what is that? And then all of a sudden...
And you live in Texas, so, I mean, odds are high that you're packing heat, so...
Yeah, well, I'm telling you, I got the shotgun, and she got the judge, and we go barreling towards the back door, because someone's trying to get in the back door. And before we, you know, because I'm telling you, I'd already decided, whatever comes through that door, I'm going to beat it to death immediately, and... Before we look, I'm too afraid because of you, Greg. I can't even look through the door, so I tell Amy to check. So
you're a real man. That's good to know.
Oh, I know. Well, you know, I try. She peers through the window of the door, and there's our 11-year-old son, David.
Why was he outside?
And she goes, it's David. And so we both, you know, uncock our guns and hide it. And we open the door. He is bawling uncontrollably. And we're going, dude, what are you outside for? And he goes, you left me in the van. He had fallen asleep on the way home. And when I said, all right, everybody, get out of the van, he did not hear me. My poor child, 11 years old, woke up in pitch darkness in the garage.
Bless his heart.
In the back of the van. And he told me, he goes, Dad, I woke up, and it was so dark, I thought I was in a box.
So this doesn't just happen to Greg. This happens to Smalleys in general?
Which is why we've invited Michael to talk about marriage and not parenting. I'm just saying, it might have something to do with it. So now, I imagine now you guys have had a good laugh about that. since that all happened. David maybe not laughing.
Well,
but
I'll tell you this. David didn't want to laugh about it that night, so I did have to turn my head because I was smiling. Because it really was funny. When he says, "I thought I woke up in a box," that's funny. You're going to laugh at that. But
someday.
He didn't think so at 3 in the morning. But
tell him Uncle Greg is here to counsel him someday, so I can at least add that. Hey, Michael, so for the couple that's listening going, you know what, man, we're busy, we're stressed out, a lot going on. Yeah, maybe we've let laughter and fun kind of slip by. What would be a couple things that they could do today maybe to add that as a part of their relationship?
Well, and I even thought in sharing the story really for the first time, by the way, on national radio here, I think you have to start with, you have to value humor and value laughter. So I shared earlier, I have a comedy DVD called The Comedy of Love, which is what it is, because you have to be able to laugh if you're in love with each other. And there's a lot of funny things like the van incident that happened. And so our family, Amy and I and the kids, we value laughter. And I promise the next day, David, who also wants to grow up to be a comedian, said, hey, he wanted to flesh out that story with me.
Mm. That's so cute.
Already prepared to start laughing about it because we value it. We feel like it's important that we can laugh at ourselves and laugh at our mistakes and just generally have fun. I mean, I wake up in the morning, all I think about is what do I get to do to goof off? Now, if you're not like, here's what I want to give, especially the wives out there, because usually it's the husband attributed to the fun, you know, goofy stuff. If you're like my wife, who's that kind of intense, serious, detailed person, my wife has learned now over 18 years that she actually has to, and I'm quoting her, put on her fun hat.
Hmm.
I would encourage your listeners that today, if this isn't a part of your life or your relationship, you have to consciously, in your mind, put on your humor hat, which means I'm going to value this and I'm going to work at being fun or humorous today, because if you don't, that might not come natural to you like it kind of does for me, Greg, and it does for you, and Susie, I can tell it comes natural for you.
If it She's always laughing at me, so yeah, it does.
Well, that's true. There is a difference between laughing and being laughed at, so I think we're working on laughing. But honestly, Amy has learned it's so cool, and it makes me nauseous. As a fun, humor-oriented person, it makes me nauseous to hear someone who has to say, I'm going to put my fun hat on. But I'm telling you, when my wife, when Amy says that, she becomes a different person.
And I like that. Yeah, I like how you're being intentional to put on the fun hat to do things. So, you know, you guys do things like date night, like you went to the Chris Tomlin. Just remember to get your kids out of the car before you lock up all the doors. Well, Michael, when people do these fun activities like a date night, How do they protect those times of fun, though, from conflict? Because, you know, we're all busy and stressed out that's going to happen.
Hey, and I don't care if everyone listening thinks this is corny and goofy. I am telling you the truth. My wife and I protect our fun time by, before we even go on the date, we literally will look at each other and go, okay, tonight is meant to be fun. We will high-five each other. If you want a chest bump or knuckle bump, whatever you want to do, you need to tell each other before the date that we are going to keep this fun. We're calling a timeout, and we refuse to get into conflict.
That's perfect, because we need to protect those times of fun. Hey, maybe if you're hurting in your marriage and you need help, again, Michael has something called the Smalley Center. You can find out more at the Smalley Center, so smalleycenter.com. Michael, thanks, man, for being a part of the show and for bringing humor and laughter to what we're doing.
Hey, thank you for having me, Greg.
Wow, we so appreciate having you on the show today. This is Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. When we come back for the wrap, Greg's going to give you some tangible tips you can take away to cultivate humor and fun in your marriage. Boy, it's a necessary ingredient. Stay tuned. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Focus on the Family's Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. I'm Susie Larson. We've had a great conversation with Michael Smalley today. We'd love to connect with you on Facebook. We've got a fun new Facebook page. You can find it at Everyday Relationships Radio. And a lot of what we talked about today is in Greg's book, The Wholehearted Marriage, Fully Engaging Your Most Important Relationship. That's a phenomenal book. So, Greg, I was thinking, you know, while we're working our way through this humor thing, not everybody has a really funny sense of humor. But I know, like, when I get back together with my siblings and we look back over our lives, we laugh about a lot of stuff that wasn't funny at the time. Isn't that maybe a good way for a couple, if humor doesn't come naturally, can they reminisce about things that maybe were stressful at the moment that we can laugh about now?
I think that there's always an opportunity in our relationship to do what we call reminiscing. I think it's one of the best marriage strengthening principles out there. Simply when you remember and talk about and revisit certain experiences that you've had. And I think, Susie, you do that by asking questions. And, you know, you can, if you don't know how to reminisce or maybe you're strained out a little bit, you know, you might say, you know, what first attracted you to me? You know, what was going through your mind on our first date? You know, when did you know that I was the one you wanted to marry? You know, what was, you know, what's, you know, the favorite meal that I make? You know, what, just start talking about these things. And I think, Susie, what it does is that I think it's when you reminisce about things that have happened, and to your point, it's not that, oh, let's only talk about the funny things. When you talk about what you've been through, it you guys smile, you start to laugh, and, oh yeah, I remember when this happened. And what it says is that, you know what, yeah, maybe life has been hard and we've gone through some tough times, but we've had some good times. You know what, actually we're pretty good together. And it just, there's a way that strengthens a bond. Michael, my brother, was talking about how, you know, after that fun where they left their child, you know, in the car after their date, you know, they now talk about it, they laugh about it. I'm telling you, it just strengthens a bond. You know, I think the other thing that we talked about that's so important is that you've got to be intentional to protect your fun times from conflict. And when Aaron and I go out, we do have a rule that if something comes up, maybe we offend each other in some way, or there's something stressful in our life, or we need to talk about the budget, we don't do those things. When we're out on a date night, when we're having fun together, and that might be just playing a video game, that might be watching your favorite TV show together, you've got to make a decision to put off conflict. If something happens, just, you know, we'll deal with that later. It just, you know, it's a little awkward after the first few seconds, but you'll get back into it. I think you can also surprise your spouse by doing something unexpected. You know, these little private jokes that you have between you, hide a little note, you know, in their briefcase or lunchbox or whatever. You know, play practical jokes. I love doing that. You know, regardless, remember, we are told by King Solomon, the wisest man, to enjoy life with the person that you love all these days. That's such an important part of our life, is having fun and laughing together.
What a fun show today. Really glad you tuned in today for Everyday Relationships with Dr. Greg Smalley. Tomorrow we'll be talking to Gary Oliver about men and anger. Why do men get angry? What's the best way for them to manage their anger? That's tomorrow. Be sure to check out our Facebook page again. That's Everyday Relationships Radio. And you can follow us on Twitter @FocusEveryday. Hope to have you meet us back here tomorrow.